magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jerry, and Mike, most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Right. Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 367, recording on August 24th, 2018. I'm Eli. With me is Jared. This week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show is sponsored by Mislead, which is a new puzzle game that just hit the App Store for $1.99. Actually, I have it on the list of games to talk about today before I realized it was a sponsor, so... hashtag ethics on that, I guess. But Touch Arcade is a mobile games website. You can find us at toucharcade.com. We're also on all the social stuff at basically /toucharcade, or our username is toucharcade at whatever you want, including mastodon.social now. We are primarily supported by Patreon. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/toucharcade. If you like the site, like the show, but aren't into Patreon, I totally get it. We would love it if you would check out toucharcade.com/Amazon before you buy any of your Amazon purchases, so we get referral credit for anything you buy over there. We also do Amazon item of the day kind of stuff where I post reviews. I have this like little gnat that's driving me absolutely nuts. Amazon items of the day where we post just random stuff that I think is cool that you might also think is cool, so kind of like mini product reviews and stuff like that, so check that out. Otherwise, I guess on with the show here. What's cracking? Anything we need to talk about at the top of the show? PAX next week. Getting inundated with emails from PAX.
Yeah, I don't know how ready I am for this.
I think we should make a concerted effort to record any interesting Switch games that we see as well.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got a lot of people reaching out about Switch stuff, which has been kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Switch is so weird too, because like most Switch games could be mobile games, and vice versa. Yeah. You know. Right. But I guess we'll see if everyone's doing the same old shit this year, where it's like, oh, this is totally not coming to mobile. Get out of here. Get out of here with that suggestion.
And then comes to mobile 3 months later. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a game which I will be unnamed. Ran into them at PAX, and I was like, oh, this has to be a mobile game, right? And like, we asked him, hey, is this coming to App Store or Google Play or anything? Like, and I, it looks like I asked him if they it looks like I just, or their look on their face was like I just like stepped in some giant like cow pie.
Yeah.
At the very suggestion that they're darling indie game would ever be sullied with the taint of mobile games, and sure enough, coming out a year later. Yeah. So that's the thing we're pretty used to. But yeah, excited for PAX. PAX is usually it's kind of turning into one of the busier shows of the year for us. I kind of stopped going to E3 to go to PAX instead, because historically, at least over the last like three or four years, we have just been absolutely slammed there. Like, to the point of it being kind of overwhelming how much stuff there is to look at, how many people there are to talk to, and all sorts of stuff. But you never know. I don't know. Like, you never know with these kind of things, right?
So. No, you don't. And I'd much rather spend my time walking around the Seattle Convention Center than the LA one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. The PAX is a way better setup than E3. I don't know. I think the energy of the show is just better, because it's like very much targeted for gamers instead of E3, which is in this weird limbo of like, I don't know, is this an industry show? Is it like PAX, PAX Los Angeles? Like, where are we going with this kind of thing? So we'll see. I'm stoked for it. So we'll see what happens. But I guess we can hop right into the news here. So I guess. In my opinion, the most interesting story of the week, although we've got a bunch of cool stuff to talk about, is kind of Facebook and Netflix both coming at the platforms in kind of different directions. So If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about when Fortnite, when it was revealed, like what Fortnite's plans were for Android. And, you know, it's kind of like Tim Sweeney and friends throwing down the gauntlet at Google Play, being like, well, we don't need you guys. Like, we'll just distribute this stuff ourselves. Like, why should we give you 30% when, you know, that 70% is not much when you consider it to cover all the costs of hosting and operating these games and supporting them for eternity and everything else. I think you could have made an argument that the platform's 30% was more worthwhile in the earlier days.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, there's been a lot of people that have come out after this being like, yeah, dude, I totally agree. Like, there's no way that it costs Apple anywhere near 30% to run the App Store and the whole, like, app approval process, which, you know, has been a joke for years now. and everything else. So it's been kind of like we predicted that this was going to be like the start of something really big. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of seeing that now. So the two things that happened in the last, I think the Facebook thing was actually last week, but it didn't really seem noteworthy enough by itself, so I didn't post about it. But so Facebook is straight up getting rid of their 30% cut for any developer that has games on their Facebook Instant platform, which I don't know. There's probably not a whole lot of reason for you to fiddle around with this unless you're like a super casual gamer, in which case you're probably not listening to this podcast. But Facebook Instant games are basically like fancier HTML5 games that run inside Facebook Messenger, and you can like, I don't know, it almost seems like the glory days of Facebook games where you kind of like spam your friends with stuff. But I don't know.
But on your phone now.
Yeah, on your phone and through Facebook Messenger, which is the thing that's interesting about this is that Facebook Messenger is just like the tiny taste of what's happening in China in a big way, in those different chat apps they use over there, which like that's primarily how a lot of people play games.
Yeah.
So Facebook cut their 30%, which is interesting, because particularly in the browser space, like it's super easy for me to be like, you know what, like why should I have my HTML5 game on Facebook Messenger when I can just build all the same Facebook hooks and just host the game myself or have it on Kongregate or any of the other portals?
Well, count me as a person that did not know Facebook even took a cut for doing this sort of thing. That's sort of thing that seems like it should have been free from the start.
Everyone takes a fucking cut, man. So what's more interesting, though, so that I was like, I don't know, that's kind of interesting. Mental back burner on that and like see where this goes. But what's more interesting is that Netflix is testing dropping iTunes subscriptions in a few select markets, you know, like basically the equivalent of like a soft launch of this new thing, which this I think is going to set a very interesting precedent on iOS, because when Apple and I haven't read the app store guidelines for quite a while to tell you exactly how this goes down, but like here's the gist basically, is that like once Apple implemented the subscription stuff, it was like, I don't remember how it's worded anymore, but it's like, you basically, if you offer something that you can buy through subscription, like you need to offer it through the iTunes, you know, recurring in-app purchase billing and stuff, which Apple takes a 30% rake on.
Yeah.
And Spotify has been like the one service that has been very outspoken basically since the beginning, saying like, dude, there's no fucking way. Like Apple Music is our like number one competitor. So you're saying that like we should operate on iOS by giving our competitor 30% of our revenue for no reason other than they host the Spotify, you know, .ipa file.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous. So the way that Netflix is kind of changing things around is in these select markets, when you log into Netflix, it's like, just put your account info in. And if you don't have an account, it kind of like throws you back out to the browser to go sign up on Netflix.com, which is, as I understand it, against the iTunes rules to do that.
I feel like, I forget what service it was that tried doing this before. Maybe it was Amazon, but Apple put a big stink about it. And once I relented at some point, I forget how it went. But yeah, because you're basically actively trying to get people to circumvent Apple's own service, which they can't be happy about. But at the same time, I don't know. It feels dumb to me that it's like, I could just go on a website on my computer or even my phone and sign up for something and Apple's not going to get a cut, and then log right into that exact same app and have the exact same experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
it's so it seems like something's wrong there. Like I feel like the content providers probably have a legitimate beef, being like, dude, why are we paying you for this, for something that's like free otherwise? But Apple probably also has an argument to be like, well, why shouldn't we get a cut of something we're selling and a service we're offering through the apps on our app store, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. It's like a weird situation, I think, because I feel like both parties have arguments, but I also feel like it's a really dumb thing.
Yeah. I mean, so some of the arguments I've seen in Apple's favor has basically been along the lines of like, well, you know, Netflix didn't go to the trouble of creating the app store and like, you know, creating the iPhone and like all this stuff. So like, of course they should pay Apple for, you know, the privilege of being on their platform. But like, how do you apply mm-hmm. that logic to like anything else? I mean, like, mm-hmm. it's not like, you know, like some random ass Steam game mm-hmm. is giving Microsoft a cut mm-hmm. of everything they do because Microsoft made Windows.
Yeah.
or, totally. You know, giving like Intel a cut of all their software sales because like, without Intel processors, they wouldn't be able to process their game or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I don't. It just seems really strange to me, and I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, if somebody's going to relent, it should be Apple. Just kind of give up that cut because having these services on their platform is a value add, and that's really what they've always said that the App Store even is in the first place. They never set out to really make money with this. They've always just wanted to do, you know, add value to their devices to sell devices.
Right.
And so if you're going to buy an iPhone, think of how many people watch Netflix on iPhones and iPads nowadays. It's like super normal. And so if all of a sudden the new iPhone was like, hey, we don't have Netflix anymore, sorry. It sounds stupid, but that would send me to an Android phone has Netflix. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. For me, I don't know if it would be the phone specifically, because I like, so for me, like I use my iPad like 50-50 of like playing games and like Netflix at the gym. Like those are the like, two uses for the iPad. Mm-hmm. And like if the next iPad, you know, because of this like spat with Apple, just doesn't have Netflix on it, like I'm seriously would be looking at like, all right, well, like, that's 50% of the usage of my tablet is no more.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And like, I think the decision would be even easier for like parents that have, you know, just like, here, watch Netflix on my phone while I do this thing, you know, like it's kind of a big deal. So it's an interesting thing because like Apple is really pushed into a corner here because like people just like straight up will not put up with like not having Netflix on their phone. Like that will be a thing. In a big way.
It's a big deal. I've seen some people think it's not, and it totally is. And especially to like your average user, it doesn't follow this sort of stuff. They're just gonna be mad they don't have Netflix or Hulu or YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, and that's why I like a lot of people have theorized why Spotify has been able to get away with not running their subscription stuff through the App Store for so long, because it's the same thing. You know, it's like when you look at the feature matrices of you know, like these different products, Apple doesn't want to be in a situation where people are like, I don't know, this one has Spotify and mine doesn't. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll just get the one that has Spotify because that's the music service I like. You know, they want everything to be everywhere. Well, everything to be on their platform, you know. And like,
well, I also think it's not helping Apple that Android has gotten really good in recent years, because 5 or 6 years ago, it was kind of like, man, I wouldn't ever recommend someone buying an Android unless you're like a crazy tinkerer or willing to put up with a bunch of weird shit. Nowadays though, like Android devices, Samsung devices at least, are really nice. Android as a platform has stabilized a lot. It's a lot better. And so it's not that big of a deal to jump from an iPhone to an Android, unless you're just considering like all the lock-in you have with like the apps you already own and stuff like that.
See, that's my problem. Google sent me a Pixel 2 when those came out, and they were kind of a big deal with that like VR headset, the Daydream headset.
Right.
And like, I tried really hard to give it a go, you know, to be like, all right, well, let me give Android like a fair shake here and all this stuff. And like, you know, the experience is way better than it used to be, like you're saying. But like, I am so, at least on my phone, tied so deeply into the Apple ecosystem. It was like, fuck, like all my pictures are over here. And like, I can't use iMessage now. And I'm like, by using this phone, I'm like breaking all these group chats that I'm in. And like, you know, all
that's
this other
by design too. I mean, that's Apple's end game.
Like it was really bad. And it was like, I don't know. I don't know how you deal with that. I guess
I don't think I could ever switch, but like you said though, something like Netflix, like that's probably a use case more likely with like a tablet.
Oh yeah.
So maybe it's a lot harder to switch phones, but it's not hard to switch tablets.
Yeah. See, and, like for me, the way I use my iPad, like I don't have like my photos sync just because of iCloud, but I never interact with them on my iPad, and I don't use iMessage on my iPad because it goes to my phone and my watch, and all that stuff. So like all the Apple services on my iPad, I mean, I guess aside from like Find My iPad and, you know, the core iCloud stuff that's useful, like I don't really care. Like it's not a big deal. Like to me, that's just a terminal I use to play Hearthstone and other random games and watch Netflix, you know, which any tablet now can do.
Yeah.
So, and like, and from the phone perspective, like I'm looking at that as like a supreme power user kind of person. Like if I was just some random person that just uses a smartphone, like a slightly better flip phone, like I would be even more laissez-faire. Was like, yeah, whatever, dude, this one has Netflix, the other one doesn't. Like,
yeah, give me totally. That one. Which is a vast majority of it.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I'm sure represents the vast majority of people that have smartphones. So I don't know. It'll be, it's an interesting kind of cat and mouse game because all these different content providers are beginning to realize like, hey, you know, like we actually do have a lot of leverage here that we can use to make a lot more money. I mean, cause like, you know, I would be very surprised if Netflix ran with a 30% profit margin. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if like if you subscribe through iTunes, like Netflix just doesn't make money. Or if they do, it's, you know, they're basically hoping that you just never use it, so you just have a dead account that they're making $7 a month on, you know.
Right.
I mean, I have no, that's just a, you know, educated guess of how other kind of services work, cuz you make your money over scale. Like you don't make, you know, it's $3 or whatever times a few hundred million people is a lot of money. Yeah. So like they don't need to make crazy money on each individual person, but when Apple comes in and scoops up a bunch of it, it's significant.
Right.
So I don't know. Like it's hard to think of too many other people that can really like make a play like this. I mean, I guess I could see like Supercell doing their own launcher on Android, maybe. Maybe Blizzard doing their own launcher for like Hearthstone and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's hard to think of many like other one-off indies that. Would really get away with this. So who knows? But like the interesting thing is like I don't think Apple can like cut like a sweetheart deal with Netflix specifically. Right?
Right.
I mean that's kind of like the thing of the App Store is like everyone gets the same access and the same shit and the same payment terms and everything else. So that would be I don't know. I'm really curious to see how this kind of plays out. Because I feel like this cat and mouse game is gonna go on for a while until someone bends.
Probably, yeah.
And I think it's going to be the platforms. I mean, just imagine being a fly on the wall at Google nowadays with like, you know, I've heard this from people that I know that like don't even follow mobile gaming news. Like, oh, you know, Google's going to lose $50 million on not having that Fortnite game on Google Play.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I've been reading about that, but like, why do you know about that? And it's like, well, it's like all they're talking about on CNBC and stuff like that.
Right.
So. Yeah. Even though that $50 million or whatever they're expected to make this year, like in the grand scheme of things, is not that big for Google compared to the rest of the revenue sources. Like, it's still a kind of a PR nightmare to have to deal with. And like, you know, if I don't know, seems like a house of cards that could blow over for both platforms. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I guess we'll watch that. So this is kind of tangentially related to mobile. Valve. Kind of, I don't know if this was accidental or not. I feel like Valve doesn't do anything on accident, but who knows? They kind of half revealed their own streaming service called Steam.tv via testing, streaming, like some of the Dota 2 international tournament over last weekend. So I don't know. Like this is obviously. It wouldn't surprise me if this was just like a complete turnkey solution for Steam where it's just like, you know, oh, you're playing a Steam game, hit F12 and you start streaming it on Steam, you know, stream.tv or whatever.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting about this is that a lot of people argue that like these different services are kind of like spreading the market thin because before it was like, oh, I just stream on Twitch. Like everyone's on Twitch and all this stuff. But I kind of think the opposite is good because like, you know, we streamed a lot on Mob Crush, but Mob Crush as a platform like really didn't seem to be like growing too much because at the time everything was on Twitch. So it was like if you weren't on Twitch, you were like, what are you doing? Like why are you on this weird service that isn't where everyone else is? But nowadays, you know, you've got like Facebook streaming is becoming very normal. YouTube streaming is growing at an alarming rate. You've got Mixer that's you know, like Microsoft's turnkey solution that I feel like is going to work. Steam TV is going to work a lot like Mixer does for the Xbox One, where it's just like you push a button and you're streaming on Mixer. So I think like the more of these platforms that come out, kind of like the better for everyone, because I think that each individual community will like be known for its own little things. Mm-hmm. And so like if it becomes like part of the normal sort of like, I don't know, like consumer mindset where it's like, oh yeah, I want to go watch some Steam games. Like let me load up Steam.tv to watch some Dota or whatever.
Yeah.
Like maybe then it becomes more reasonable to think that people be like, oh hey, I want to watch some mobile games. Like what other thing is there that does that? As opposed to back when we were streaming on Mob Crush, I feel like there was very little reason for someone to like put the dots together on like, yeah, oh, there's probably a Twitch but for mobile.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, I don't know. I kind of have both minds of where I feel like when there's too many services, it's bad. And we sort of saw that happen with all the streaming movie and TV services like Hulu and Netflix and YouTube and all that stuff, yeah, Amazon Prime. And it would get confusing. It'd be like, oh, I went into Amazon thinking I could watch this movie, but it's not on Amazon anymore, but now it's on Netflix, but let me go into Netflix or whatever. And Apple's sort of solution was their little TV app thing that they released for Apple TV that kind of does like a universal search through all those streaming services. So you could be like, I want to watch Wayne's World, and it'll find which one it's on, all the different ways you can watch it, whether it's free, whether it's paid, like whatever. I think something like that for this would be good. But at the end of the day, like it's sort of just like TV channels. Like we don't freak out that there's 100,000 different TV channels. We watch the ones we like. I want to watch Cooking. I watch Food Network, you know, whatever. So I think it might end up shaking out, like you say, like I want to watch some Steam games. Oh, maybe there's a Steam TV app on Apple TV or something, and it sits right alongside your other content or whatever. And there's a Twitch app and there's a YouTube app. And so you'll be able to go onto those things and know what you want to watch and how to find it. And whatever, and it maybe won't be as confusing as you think. But I do think that it's like having something like Twitch be the dominant platform, that's where all the eyeballs are. And so it's like if you wanted to start streaming, it's like, well, where do I go?
Yeah.
So I feel like that makes it a little confusing too. So I don't know. I feel like I see both sides.
For now, though, I mean, it seems like it could settle out to be a lot like when all the streaming stuff started, it was like Netflix was by and far the most dominant. And it was like, well, of course I'm just watching Netflix. Like all these other ones are just annoying to me.
Right.
But now, like at least in the way that I use a lot of these services, like I don't really watch the back catalog stuff anymore. Like I don't, you know, I don't need to see Hunt for Red October for the 30,000th time or whatever, you know, like now it's like, I'll load up Showtime to watch Sacha Baron Cohen's new show. And then like hop over to Netflix to watch Orange is the New Black. And then like, down to Amazon Video for the Grand Tour and stuff like that. So I really am using those like they were like TV stations more than anything else, you know, which
is this weird concept called streaming TV. It's like TV shows, but they're live and you watch them as it happens.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with game streaming. I still feel like that we're at the very infancy of this market still, even though it's been, you know, several years running. But I don't know, it's just interesting to see Valve throw their hat into the ring. But like, it's hard to, Valve is always a hard company to figure out like how big of a deal their different moves actually are, because like the way the company is structured is that like two people inside of Valve could have done this as like a weekend project,
right?
You know, or they could have like 50 people all spooled up working on this to be like a serious Twitch competitor, and you just like don't really know until they do it, because you have that level of autonomy in Valve to just do what you feel like and release it if it's cool. Like I don't,
that's our ethos.
Yeah.
That's our game.
Feels good. Do it. So, another interesting story this week came out. So anytime a game gets big enough, you have these people called data miners who are basically these like people with too much time on their hands that will just like pour through all the data files looking for like any kind of text string that might be interesting or anything else that might hint of stuff coming in the future. Because typically like the way a lot of games work is they'll like update and load or let you download. There's like a ton of assets for stuff coming in the future. And then they just kind of like slowly enable that shit over time. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, where like all those like Pokemon Go leaks came from and like all that stuff. So, this dude Storm Leaks on Twitter. I really don't want to deal with that right now. Hopefully it's not anyone that requires my
Is your doorbell ring?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Steve,
the worst.
Shut up. So anyway, the oh no, it's fine. I just looked at my camera. Anyway, shut the hell up, man. It's fine.
That's Steve's appearance on the show. Yeah. My dog's actually barking too, but he's far enough away. I don't think you can hear it.
No, this dog is like, just, he never leaves. He's like my shadow. but anyway, so this guy on Twitter, StormLeaks, went through the recent update for Fortnite and found all sorts of references to the Apple TV, which led a lot of people to the very reasonable conclusion of like, oh, well, if, you know, why wouldn't Fortnite come out on the Apple TV, really? I mean, Minecraft's on the Apple TV and a bunch of other games are on the Apple TV. And like, Apple's really loosened up, you know, their requirements to allow people to, you know, use controller only stuff instead of how it launched with everything had to use a stupid Siri remote. So kind of speculated like this could mean that controller support is coming reasonably soon, because like surely they're not going to launch this game mm-hmm. without controller support on the Apple TV. That's absurd. So then Epic reached out after he published the story, and their official response is Epic isn't planning to bring Fortnite to Apple TV. References to tvOS in the Fortnite files are a result of Unreal Engine support for Apple for the Apple TV platform. Mm-hmm. Which, like, okay, that's fair. But at the same time, why wouldn't you bring Fortnite to the Apple TV if you could?
I've actually been burned on this before, where somebody's found a file in something that points to a certain platform or a feature or something that ends up just being these sort of default files that are with, mm-hmm. you know, a game engine or something like that. And so, yeah, the excuse makes sense, but at the same time, yeah, you're dumb if you're not bringing Fortnite to the Apple TV or yeah. adding controller support or whatever. So I feel like it's going to happen. Maybe they just want to announce it on their own terms, or it's not quite there yet or something like that. But why wouldn't you? Like, yeah. why wouldn't you put it on a platform that's basically already made for it anyway?
Well, dude, like, think of it this way. So what is an Xbox One costs now, like $300-$400, something like that? I don't know. Like, I know the Xbox One X is like $500 and mm-hmm. the PlayStation Pro is similar, and you get the older one for a little bit less. But like, imagine a bundle, if you will, that's like an Apple TV 4K, SteelSeries controller, or, you know, any of the other, I like the SteelSeries one the best, but any of the controllers, and like a code for this season's battle pass or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, that for Fortnite is like, and like maybe the controller has like says Fortnite on it, or, you know, like a Fortnite edition bundle, kind of like that Minecraft one,
right?
That is $20 cheaper than buying all that shit individually.
Yeah,
like at that point you would have the ability to give kids that are into Fortnite a console like Fortnite experience for, I don't know, $100-$150.
Yeah, so, and by the way, all the games that you're already playing on your phone with your friends can also, for the most part, be played on Apple TV too. So,
yeah, so like, you know,
it'd be a big deal, but Apple doesn't do stuff like that.
Yeah, I understand that Epic needs to be like, yeah, we have no plans to do this, just because that's what you do, that's what you say when something like this happens, right? But I don't know, I just refuse to believe that someone inside of Apple right now isn't getting like major pressure. Mm-hmm. Being like, yo, where the fuck's Fortnite on Apple TV, man? Like what's Fortnite's biggest thing ever?
I would be surprised if it's ready to go and it's a thing they were saving for whatever their September event holds. Mm. You know what I mean? They unveil new iPhones, they usually announce other crap too. So having like Fortnite on Apple TV would be a big showstopper thing.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, the way that I could really connect the dots as to like why this saw such an urgent response of like, oh, no, like this is not coming, is that like that is the plan. And Epic knows they're supposed to be on stage at this thing, and they are like everyone else are fucking terrified that they might have let the cat out of the bag, and now Apple's gonna be like, nope, sorry, you leaked it, like you're cut. We don't care if you're the biggest game in the world, like we don't need you. Which like that theory makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, maybe Mr. StormLeaks can go back through older versions and see if there's any tvOS stuff in that code. That would kind of tell us, because if it was the most recent update that has it, but earlier versions didn't, that would kind of hint that, hey, it's not just this default thing or whatever.
Yeah, but like, so I don't know, like, historically, like when people post speculative stuff, and this has been the case for us too, like about Fortnite, like you don't get the email 10 minutes later being like, dude, like this is what's happening, like it's not coming, like all this
no
stuff.
Yeah,
like,
maybe by the next day or something.
Like, well, yeah, they seem like they had the attitude of like, I don't give a shit, like as long as you're not like actively scamming kids with these various like V-Bucks junk that's going around, like it doesn't seem like they care. So I think there's something to this, but
it was oddly squashed like very quickly.
Yeah, so. And that's never happened for us dealing with Fortnite. So I think my theory holds water, but I guess we'll see. So on the Android side of things, I guess Pokemon Go put out a patch that prevents people who have rooted their phone, which is basically like the Android equivalent of jailbreaking, from connecting to the game servers at all. Which some people were saying that this isn't a new thing, and then other people were saying, like, you know, we're all pissed that they can't play now. So maybe it was detecting certain things, but, you know, they opened it up to be able, like, the detection to be way more broad. Like, I don't know the specifics of how this works, but, like, basically, if you aren't running stock Android now, like, you can't play Pokemon Go, which, I don't know. Sucks, I guess, but at the same time, like, I understand that Niantic needs to maintain the integrity of their game. Yeah. And when you have people that are like in the Android world, like rooting your phone is unbelievably simple. Like, you know, if you ever jailbroken your phone, like that process was easy, but like rooting is a million times easier. So it is like very, very simple to watch a 5-minute YouTube video, like root your phone, download the Pokemon Go cheats and be warping all over the world, collecting like all the special Pokemon and shit without ever leaving your house. So
where's the fun in that?
I get it. But at the same time, like they're kind of finding themselves into the same argument that people made about like jailbreak stuff, when you had developers like blocking jailbreak people being like, dude, I root my phone to install like, you know, like a Super Mario wallpaper and, you know, like other weird junk.
Yeah.
And don't do any of the cheating stuff. And now I can't play my favorite game unless I want to get rid of like all the tweaks I've done to my phone, which,
That's fair,
but I guess blame the cheaters for ruining it for everyone.
Right.
On this, so I don't know. So I guess if you have a rooted phone, sorry for your loss. another interesting story this week: CD Projekt Red, who they're the creator of like the Witcher series and that God, what's their new game that just got announced at E3, like Cyberpunk 2077 or something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just called, I don't know. I meant to write it down somewhere, but I didn't. Anyway, so they have a new mobile studio now called Spoko, I think. I might be butchering the pronunciation.
I would say
of
Spoko.
Yeah. But the people behind the studio are quoted as saying they have an interesting idea based on one of CD Projekt Red's brands, which represents an entirely novel creative angle. So I don't know. And they go on to say, like, we have substantial experience with casual game development, but this time around we want to work on a far more advanced and ambitious project offering new possibilities for gamers. So,
I mean, I think an obvious guess is Gwent, which is the Witcher card game, which we have speculated should be coming to mobile since it was announced, even though they've said it never has and have stuck to that. But I think if it was coming to mobile, they would have done it by now. I don't think they'd create a new mobile studio just for that.
Yeah.
So they definitely have something else going. But I kind of feel like it'd be Witcher related. I mean, if they're going to – they've come out and said it's like related to an existing IP sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's I have no idea. I mean, like you could – the cool thing about this is that – so CD Projekt Red, if you don't follow kind of like the PC side of things, like they are unbelievably outspoken when it comes to like all DLC should be free, like stop ripping off the consumer. They're against all DRM, like their GOG.com is like I think it's all DRM free, or most stuff's DRM free.
I think so, yeah.
I mostly use Steam, so I don't really know that much about how GOG.com works, but yeah, so I think if nothing else, like reading between the lines here, we're going to get some kind of mid-core game, which will likely appeal to our audience that hopefully will have the same kind of like, I don't know, vibe that CD Projekt Red has had towards consumers, which would be a pretty big slam dunk for everyone, even if it was just like a mobile port of Gwent, if that's kind of where they're going. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. Nothing kind of beyond that. It also wouldn't surprise me if like given the timing of this, if it isn't something that involves their next game and it's going to launch like alongside that or something like that, instead of being like, oh, hey, remember Witcher? Well, here's this mobile game that came out a few years later. So real quick, Microsoft is has a beta test available that you can get in on for their Xbox Game Pass app. So this basically just seems to be the equivalent of like the Steam app for iOS and Android. The cool thing is like you can use the app to download games to your Xbox remotely. So like if you're a subscriber for the Xbox Game Pass, which you have an Xbox, you should think about it because it's $10 a month and you get this like just ridiculous library of, I mean, a lot of the games are like old, but like for someone like me, like if I went out and bought an Xbox One X, like I wouldn't even buy games. I'd just subscribe to this because like I haven't played so many of the like, recent Xbox games that for me, it'd be like, dude, there's more games in here that I have time to play. So anyway, it just seems really cool to be able to like load this thing up on your phone, like when you're at work or something, be like, oh shit, like a new, this thing just got added to Game Pass. And I'm sure you probably get a push alert or something when that happens. Be like, oh yeah, download it to my Xbox. And it's like ready to play when you get home instead of, that's been like the most irritating thing to me about this generation of consoles is like, like when you buy a game on PS4 or whatever, it's like, all right, 30-minute install process before this does anything, and then we'll be good to go. So I don't know if that avoids it. That's cool.
It's a cool thing. I like the future, how all that stuff works.
Yeah. Someone in the comments joked like, "What? It's not coming to Windows mobile devices." So you posted about the story, Wall Kickers, the new game from the people behind Bean's Quest and Duet is coming on September 6th, which is a couple of weeks from now.
If you played High Risers, which they released a few years ago, it's really kind of similar concept to that, but instead of that game was sort of like an auto-running platformer where you were trying to climb higher and higher in these different floors, and the only way you could turn around was by hitting a wall. And so the whole game was to try and, that you'd be in certain situations where there wouldn't be a wall or there'd be something you'd have to bump into to like trigger a thing that you can bump into to turn the other way, whatever. And a really good, fun, endless game. That you should check out now because it's free. So High Risers is really good. This is like the wall jumping version of that. Like the structure and everything is totally the same. Like High Risers is basically you collect coins when you play and you try and get the highest score and whatever, but you can like unlock things Crossy Road style. So like there's tons of unlockable characters and tons of unlockable themes, and that's kind of the loop of the game or the carrot. And this works totally the same way. There's tons of characters and themes to unlock and things like that. But other than that, you don't really get harassed by free-to-play stuff when you're playing. So it's really cool. But the mechanics are awesome because it's not just wall jumping. You jump higher based on how long you hold down the screen. And then you can jump from one wall across to the other one, or you can backflip midair. So sometimes you don't have a wall across from you, so you have to actually midair backflip back to the same wall that you jumped from to kind of climb your way up. And I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but it seems like such a simple game, and it's actually super complex. So I don't know, I'm pretty excited for
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's take a second to get our word from our sponsor in. Now we should have an ad
Yes.
this week. If you are interested in sponsoring the Touch Arcade Show, email ads at toucharcade.com. But this week, our sponsor is Misled. So Misled is a puzzle game that's designed to make you think of the potential consequences of every move that you make. There are carefully placed blocks to navigate, arrow blocks at the top. Remove a block, and the arrows may help you or mislead you. At a great introductory price of $1.99, Misled is out now in the Apple, Google, and Amazon app stores. If you love puzzles, you've got to play Misled. And that's spelled like exactly like the word Misled. So
I think it might
easy.
be mislead, my dude.
Is it?
I think so.
All right, well, I can read it again then with, I guess, well, here, yeah, here's the thing. I'll read it both ways and then one will be correct. All right.
Fair enough.
All right, so Misled is a puzzle game that's designed to make you think of the potential consequences of every move you make. There are carefully placed blocks to navigate and arrow boxes at the top. Remove a block and the arrows may help you or mislead you. At a great introductory price of $1.99, Misled is out now in the Apple, Google, and Amazon app stores. If you love puzzles, you've got to play Misled. I guess it does make more sense that it would be present tense.
I don't know, maybe. That's just the way I read it, but
I don't know. I guess it's good that we hedged our bets on that, because...
And you do two ads for one, so
it's a twofer. I guess that's how you extract a lot of value out of ads on our podcast, is you have a game that has
that we don't know how to pronounce
slightly right. ambiguous title that could be read either way. anyway, just a couple quick more news stories before we jump into game discussion. So kind of surprise announcement this week of Zynga getting the Star Wars license from Disney, which is kind of seems to be a project or a product of Disney just moving farther and farther and farther away from anything to do with video games themselves.
Right.
I guess, which is a little weird. They're also taking over Star Wars Commander. So,
hey,
I don't know.
Okay.
A lot of speculation as to like what this could be. A lot of people being like, oh, if it involves Zynga, it's automatically going to suck, which I don't know how fair that is nowadays. Maybe. I don't know.
It's weird. It's kind of like, I mean, if you're a hardcore Star Wars fan, you probably don't want a Zynga-fied mobile game. But then again, Star Wars is like the most popular brand in the world, so it's like a lot of the mainstream audience that plays free-to-play games is also very much a lot of overlap with Star Wars fans. Right. I don't know.
And Disney like straight up stole Star Wars for how much they paid George Lucas with like what they're doing with this now. So if you're excited for Tropico for iPad, which you know if you this is the first you heard of Tropico is like. It's a game where you're like building up a Caribbean island, kind of like a city builder sort of thing, but imagine like kind of like, I don't know, like Cuba instead of SimCity, I guess. But anyway, we were pretty excited for this one. It's going to be, exclusive for iPad unless they kind of swerve us like the, Rome Total War update to make it for iPhone 2 at some point. Yeah. But, there is like a 15-minute long video from the demos they were giving at Gamescom that like really give you an idea of like just how complicated this game is, and I'm pretty excited to give it a go once it finally comes out. I haven't seen any more specific release date other than it coming this year, but I don't know. As I mentioned in the article with the video, it seems pretty complete, so it wouldn't surprise me if it comes out reasonably soon.
Yeah.
And then you posted about this disc driving thing. You want to take point on that?
Disc Driving 2 launched on Android yesterday, I think. And so the iOS version launched back in February, and Android people have been like, what about us? And so it took a while, but finally, Android version of Disc Driving 2, and it's cross-platform. So iOS people can play with Android people, and that's very exciting. The player pool is instantly increased quite a bit. And then the other thing they added is they updated the iOS version today, as well with full in-game chat, which is something that didn't launch with the game that was in the original game, and people kind of missed it.
Oh, yeah.
And so they've added that back in. And, Disc Driving 2 is a lot of fun. It's free, worth checking out if you're on Android or iOS. And,
Hey, so here's a question. I remember when this came out, there was quite a bit of drama surrounding, like, the redos or something like that over watching an ad. Did they ever change that?
They did not. So the drama was that this game was free to play and it had ads every couple games or whatever. And then you could do something you couldn't do in the first game that you could do in the second game is you could retry. So if you took a turn and you totally biffed it, you had a limited number of retries per game. And so they'd make you watch a video ad in order to do a retry. And this game, being free to play, has like a premium unlock thing that you can buy that removes all the interstitial ads in after every few games, but it did not remove the ads for doing a retry. And that has remained the same, even though a lot of people complained about it. I'm sort of the mind of if you buy a premium unlock thingy, that should remove all ads, period. But it has not, and it, you know what? I don't know. I put up with it, but it does super annoy me a lot of times, and I almost never retry.
What if it was like just a 30-second countdown? Like, you had a 30-second cooldown.
They'd still make you wait. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's kind of, like, fair, too, is to say that if you want to do a retry, you got to pay some sort of punishment for it. And if you're going to sit there for 30 seconds, you might as well watch an ad. But I don't know. I'd be okay with them just putting an option to not play with retries. because it wasn't in the first game. I don't think it's super necessary. It pisses me off more than it helps me, I think, because the times I've used them, sometimes that second try doesn't go as well. And then, well, let me burn another retry and watch another ad. Then that third try doesn't go as well. And it's like, I'd almost rather just play it as it is. If you screw up a turn, you screw up a turn.
How many times can you do a retry?
Three. So, I don't know. But anyway, they haven't removed it. I think it'd be nice if they just had you be able to do instant retries if you paid the premium. But then again, I don't know. That it'd probably tempt people to retry a lot more often.
Three per race total or three per turn?
Three per race total.
Oh, that doesn't seem that bad then. I thought it was
It's not that crazy. I mean, the only times I've ever really used it is when I've like super screwed up and, you know, misflicked or something and did something I totally didn't intend to do. And then I feel like I got shortchanged on that turn. But if I take a turn, it's not like the absolute best it could be. I'm not going to retry and try and like get that perfect turn or anything, which I've noticed a lot of people do that you play against.
Yeah.
Which is kind of irritating. So I'd just like an option to turn it off altogether if you wish. But
yeah, that seems.
Anyway, game's still awesome.
Yeah. Well, cool. So the thing that I've spent the most time playing this week is the new Game of Thrones, which orientation is this on my iPad? The Reigns Game of Thrones.
Reigns of Thrones.
Got an early copy of this. If you've never played Reigns, I think the easiest way to describe it is a choose your own adventure kind of game where you have all your decisions are binary and the game has a UI that's like flipping through profiles in Tinder, I guess. So the cool thing about the Game of Thrones version is that, so it's structured. Do you watch Game of Thrones at all?
I do not.
You should get on it. It's a really good show.
That's what everybody tells me.
And season, you have plenty of time because season 8 isn't airing until next year.
Okay.
All right, well, how do I explain this then in a way that makes sense for you? So there's this, like, witch in Game of Thrones that does this, like, fire magic shit, and she can see stuff in the flames, but it's not always accurate. Like, that's kind of, like, the rub, is that, you know, like, any oracle, like, you know, she's not 100% accurate. So, like, the setting of Reigns Game of Thrones is you're looking through those flames.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting because it allows them to do all sorts of weird stuff, like scenarios. So what I was curious of with when I first got this, I was like, whoa, is this like canon in the show? And like we're getting some kind of like tease of what's going to happen next season or like what's going to happen in the next book or something like that. And the way they explain it is like, well, no, like it's really just like packed to the brim with fan service. And you know, because of the way that it's structured and it's like you're looking through this oracle's flames, you don't know if it's true or not, so they can do like a lot of like really zany stuff.
That's smart.
And have you play as a bunch of different characters and like play out different scenarios that would like probably never happen in the show or the books or whatever, but you can kind of like kind of just like explore those paths and like see what might happen kind of thing. And so the game itself plays you know, very very similar to all the other Reigns games. You have your army and your church and your people and your treasuries to deal with, except, you know, like they're themed off Game of Thrones, like, you know, it's the Bank of Braavos or whatever instead of your treasury. But it's pretty cool because I don't know, like, I've just really been enjoying these, like, weird little scenarios of, like, these different characters that, you know, would never, like, mash up or do these things in the show, and you just kind of see what happens, and it's pretty fun. But at the same time, like, it's, I really don't think that you need to know too much about Game of Thrones in order to enjoy this. Or maybe really even not much at all, because it's just a Reigns game, really. So it's like you're making decisions based on, you know, like how it's going to affect like your various in-game economy stuff.
Right.
So I don't know, like there's references to characters in the show, but like I would think that you'd be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
If you're just like a Reigns fan and.
Yeah.
and all this stuff.
That was my question, is how is someone like me that doesn't watch the show, what's it going to mean to me? But also, is it like, so Reigns and then Reigns, Her Majesty, the sequel, it was like, they were different enough. We talked about this before. They're different enough that you keep them both on your phone and, mm-hmm. and you kind of choose which one you want to play because they, while being super similar games, they actually offer really different experiences. And so would you say this is like a third additional unique experience, or is this more similar to the previous Reigns games to where it's like, if you played those ones, you're going to be burnt out and not want to play this? Or
no, I think
you think there's enough unique stuff here.
Because like, so here's where it gets interesting, is like the character select screen where there's like 9 characters that you'll eventually unlock, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. these characters unlock like the different like sets of cards that eventually come out. So in Reigns, you know, if you make it far enough in the story, like you might come across a character, and then that character will have like 20 sets of cards that get added to your deck.
Okay.
That then open up different branching decisions. Like these different characters are kind of very similar to that, and like as you play farther, you also get more cards and like all this other crap. So, I don't know. So it's going to be $4. It's going to launch on iOS, Android, and Steam October 18th. I want to say is when it's coming out, late October. Like when I first read the press release, I was like, oh damn, is the show coming? Like I thought it was coming next year. Like, did they bump it up? Like, what's going on? Like, because it would make a lot of sense to launch this, you know, to like hype up the show, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It seems like, you know, from following along with all that stuff, it seems like the, I guess the powers that be at HBO must just really like Reigns, or, you know, the people at Devolver Digital just know someone there, or.
That is pretty cool. I mean, this is Reigns is like one guy, right? Like basically just one guy. And so it's interesting to see like a super indie sort of project like this. First of all, the first one gets so critically acclaimed and wins so many awards. And then the second one be super, successful and well received. And then to land like this, one of the biggest IPs in the world right now, to have a be able to make a game about that, that's just like a pretty crazy tale right there. So I don't know, but it also is such a perfect fit to have Game of Thrones be a Reigns game. So yeah. I don't know, there's not really many more crossover games I could think of that would be a better fit than Reigns.
I don't know, like I think maybe you should at least know like the premise of Game of Thrones before getting in on this. Like, I don't know if you need, like, I definitely don't think you need to be like an expert or real have read all the books or whatever, but you just need to know, like, all right, so it's, you know, this land called Westeros, and there's like all these different houses, and they're all vying for you know, like to become like the kings of, you know, sit on the throne. That's why it's called Game of Thrones, right? And then there's this ever-present like bad force is coming on, but people don't really care because like they're so busy with like their squabbles amongst each other that like the huge monster's coming. It's like, dude, whatever, it's not my problem. Like, I want the fucking throne. Yeah. So it's kind of like the setting. So like, if you understand that, like all the different stuff you do in the game will make a lot of sense. So, but I don't know, like really, really cool. Coming, a little less than 2 months from now, which seems kind of weird they announced it so early, but I don't know, whatever. Looking forward to seeing what the reaction is to this, because I really think people are going to like it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I love Reigns, so, you know, like, whatever. What do you want to talk about next? You want to talk about Misled/Mislead?
Let's Mislead. I actually had this game downloaded and liked it before I knew it was a sponsor. So you, not only do you get 2 commercials, but we're going to talk about your game too. So quite a value sponsoring our show, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a puzzle game, and I want to say it's really similar to those games where you slide in a certain direction until you hit something, and then you slide in another direction. So you hit something, and you're trying to make it to a goal, and you have to kind of figure out the correct route to slide around, you know, the puzzle screen. It's like that, but the twist is that you can actually remove blocks. You actually have to remove blocks in order to make your way, and then you don't get to choose the path that you slide in. You actually, the directions that your character is going to slide in is laid out at the top of the screen for you every time you start a level. And so the game then isn't figuring out which way to slide to make it to a goal. It's figuring out which blocks to remove so that your predetermined slide path will get you to the goal. And It starts out like crazy easy, just teaching you the basics of removing. Every time you remove a block, you take the next turn that's in your little setup at the top of the screen. And eventually it opens up to be much more wide open boards with a lot more open space to move and a lot more squares. Sometimes a puzzle, you have to remove every square or every block to move all the way to the goal. And sometimes you don't. And so you really have to think ahead of like, okay, which one do I want to remove, or do I want to keep this certain one here so that he runs into it and stops because I need him to be, you know, at a certain spot on the board instead of sliding all the way to the end or whatever. So it's actually a really clever take on those sort of sliding. It's not Sokoban, but it's kind of like Sokoban, those sliding, you know, puzzles, block puzzles or whatever. But yeah, it was really, really interesting concept. Execution-wise, it's kind of a rough around the edges sort of game. Like,
yeah, I was just thinking, like, this is a very cool like puzzle concept, but like,
yeah,
if it had like way better art, you know, like if it was like a Where's My Water level like cartoony game, like I feel like people would be going nuts for this.
Let's take bets on which company is going to steal the concept and make a super polished version that goes to the top of the App Store. But that's the other thing too, is like it's a paid game, it's $2, and so I'm not sure how many levels it has, but it has quite a few. And so if you just like puzzle games and you don't like free to play ones, like the layer of jank is definitely, it's worth putting up with because the puzzles are so clever and the concept's so cool. But it definitely feels like a, you know, solo indie dev project with kind of some programmer art and not super polished menus and things like that. So if those sort of things don't bother you and you just care about the actual gameplay, this is a winner. But I do agree with you that if somebody like King or someone or Ketchup or whatever was making this game, it would probably be crazy polished and, you know, whatever, a lot more visually pleasing, I guess. But it's charming for what it is. It's definitely got that homemade feel.
Yeah. No, it's I dig it. It's just I completely agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah, it's rough around the edges visually for the most part. But the concept's so cool. Like I kept going back to it to see what the next puzzle was because it kept getting harder, and waiting to see if you know, what new mechanics or whatever they might introduce. And so. Yeah, you're figuring it out.
Yeah, I got a brain.
No, it's really cool though.
Really cool. So yeah, search the App Store for Mislead or Misled, however you feel like pronouncing it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Fun. I feel like I'm being misled playing this game.
Why?
I don't know.
Just wanted to use that word.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. let's see. So, this game is kind of interesting. It's called TweetStar. Mm-hmm. I think I need to do something real quick to get this to work on the video stuff because it seems to be a Unity game. But anyway, so the game of TweetStar is another one of these games that uses Twitter as part of the gameplay mechanic. What have been? I don't know why this is like rendering all weird. Sorry, video people. This is the best I got.
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know there have been quite a few that plug into Twitter and use, you know, hashtags or different tweets or whatever to kind of create content in the game.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I for the life of me, I couldn't think of any actual titles of games, but that's definitely been a thing in the past.
There's been a few. There's been a few endless runners I know that have used words from Twitter to the AirPlay functionality, and this is totally messed up, but you kind of see what, like, so the goal of the game is it pulls real tweets out of Twitter, which seems dangerous for one.
No kidding, right?
And then you kind of like you put them in order. So like for instance, like the tutorial has like the tutorial tweet is three different like bubbles of text, and the first one is "this tweet is," and the second one is "mixed up," and the last one is "all." So in order to beat that, you just drag "all" in front of "mixed up," and then you've got the tweet in order. Okay. What kind of like made me interested in this is I feel like this is just like a disaster waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, because like you see the kind of shit that goes on Twitter, like that's the big reason why I said nuts to Twitter, because it's like just a hive of anger and negativity. So like this either needs to be, it's like so this one right now, the lead off is it's, and then I have three bubbles. The first one is a good. The second one is Tuesday period it's, and the last day.
Does it have to start with its?
Day to rock. Well, yeah, so like that. So it's a good.
It's got to be Tuesday. It's a good day to rock.
It's Tuesday. It's a good day to rock.
If it lets you do that.
Submit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I keep playing this like waiting to get like some kind of like horribly racist tweet or something like this.
You're right. This seems like a really terrible idea. It has to have some sort of content filter or whatever, but. You're bound to come across something that's not good for a game.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's like how do you not? I don't know. Like there just must be like some crazy filter they came up to make these like as G-rated as possible.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like so, if, like for instance, like today, feel like today, and then there's three boxes. Be a good, is GNA, and then day with us. A emoji sun,
and so it pulls misspellings out, or is that a purposeful misspelling because spelling gonna is too hard, so you spelled GNA instead.
I don't know, but yeah. So I've been fiddling around with this on my phone for quite a while, waiting to see like something terrible pop up, and I maybe there's just a few thousand tweets they've pulled that are super sanitized for the puzzle. Like I don't know.
That's funny though. That's an interesting concept, but yeah, I'm waiting for disaster to happen.
Yeah. So what's this Summit Way all about? I haven't
this is another puzzle game that I actually just thought this looked cool. So it's basically like imagine a bunch of mountaintops poking through the clouds, and there's a cluster of them, and so your goal is to actually build a bridge from one mountaintop to the other, and then kind of connect them all back together. Without crossing over or running into, one bridge running into the other. You can't put multiple bridges on one, peak. And so it just seemed like a neat idea. But the thing that got me was, I was like, how hard can this be? Like, okay, you connect bridges. I mean, there's only so many ways you can do this. And so it wasn't until, I thought the game looked cool based on this trailer. And then when I actually played it, it kind of became clear where the actual puzzle mechanics come in. And so not too long after they kind of teach you the basics, the puzzles start counting the amount of boards you use to build bridges. So obviously, like, there's going to be a longer bridge between a longer span. And, if there's peaks kind of in the middle of the cluster, you can maybe go back and forth with some shorter bridges to do, accomplish the same goal. And so it's really one of those puzzle games that's like, if you're like the person that likes to find the like maximum solution, like the ultimate solution to something using the fewest moves or whatever, there's a heavy element of that in this, in trying to do make your connections with using the least amount of boards. But beyond that, then they introduce different heights of mountains, and so there's some interesting things going on there, because at least at the point that I'm at, there's two different size mountains that are higher than the base size, and so you can't go from the lowest mountain to the highest. It's too tall and your bridge will break. And similarly, you can't go down from the highest to the lowest. So when you're trying to build a bridge from up to the higher mountains, you actually have to build one to a medium-sized mountain in the middle in order to cover the span without breaking your bridge. And so that throws a huge wrinkle into everything too, because you got to figure out, okay.
Do I need to connect all of these little mountains?
You have to connect them all without crossing over.
Okay.
And the less wood you use. This one I've 4-starred everything that you can get 1 to 4 stars based on how much wood you use for your planks. I have not 4-starred this one yet. I 3-starred it. So there's some sort of crazy tricky.
I was so mad
if you 4-starred on first try. So there's some sort of crazy tricky thing going on with this. But if you can't see the video, there's like a huge cluster. There's what, like 12 mountaintops right there or something. And so there's got to be a really tricky path you can take. That's kind of like the ultimate solution that uses the least amount of boards, but I haven't figured it out yet. But that's what's so cool about this game is it seemed like this simple thing, like how can this even be a challenging game? And then they introduce these different mechanics that actually make it very challenging And fun to kind of figure out, oh, you missed one, dude.
God damn it.
So anyway, but it's also just a cool concept building these bridges across these peaks. It just looks neat. So that's what caught my attention in the first place. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
How many stars was that?
I don't know. You can hit the go back or hit play. The thing that looks like noodles is what gets you back to the map screen.
I got three stars.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not sure total number of levels or anything, but it seems like there's a lot, and it seems like the difficulty ramps up pretty quickly too. But I just thought it was a really clever concept and clever execution and just a fun, kind of clean, unique puzzler. So
So here's they're introducing the hills and stuff.
Yeah, so you have to go from the bottom, bottom height to the medium height to the highest height, and then find another medium height to go to before you can finish the loop at the bottom one. And that's definitely something you got to think about in some of the later levels when they throw all the different heights at you with tons of different peaks everywhere. It's really cool, though. Really cool game.
Yeah, this seems neat. All right, well, I think we're running a little long here on the podcast, probably because I had to read the ad twice with two pronunciations just to make sure I'm right. So yeah, thanks a ton, everyone, for listening. If you like the podcast and like toucharcade.com and all that stuff, I'd really appreciate it if you would check out Patreon at patreon.com/toucharcade. Otherwise, take a look at our various Amazon items of the day, see if any of them interest you. Otherwise, just do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Touch Arcade Show. Might record a little early in the week because of PAX, but it's all part of the plan. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.